Welcome to the Hot Rod Hangout Podcast.
Woo-hoo.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Ashley.
And tonight we have a very special guest in the house, Mr. Johnny Jalopy.
Yay!
What is going on?
What's going on?
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man. I have followed your artwork forever. And the fact that you live as close to us as you do is crazy. I guess
it usually surprises, but just about everybody, because everybody assumes I live in California.
That's mm-hmm. what I was about to say. Like, I guess I just assumed that, you know, it was a Cali guy.
You know, all those TV guys, they're out in California.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that you had designed the space junk, or had some inspiration in designing the space junkie, at least.
Yeah. Yep. Not the original Space Junkie 1, but I definitely came up with the concept for Space Junkie 2. And quite a bit of the design itself was through my brain, but, you know, then we kind of collaborated on different little aspects of the car itself. But it was awesome.
Yeah, that car was crazy. I think that may have been my introduction to you was seeing you on the show and, you know, kind of the little guy winning.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We did one build before that. It was Johnny 5, which was the Volkswagen Hot Rod project. And that's where I got my introduction to being on the show itself, was and then creating a friendship with Ian, that where he was like, hey, I got to have you back. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, okay, so the bug truck combination that you had sent me pictures of when we first started talking, that was part of Ian too?
Yeah, so that was actually season three. It wrapped up the actual season itself. It was a three episode season or a part, which is cool. So that was neat, but I had never met him or even known him before that. I mean, I knew him as a builder and as a fan. I was a huge fan of his. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they contacted me and, you know, had me be a part of that build, and then all from there. And then the next thing we know, we've got four vehicles that we built now collaborate with for the show.
That's awesome.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
So what got you into drawing cars? It's called Scratch, right? Scratch art?
Sketchy is what it is. Yeah, I've been drawing since I was a little kid. My dad spent quite a bit of time with me as a little boy drawing cars and different stuff like that. He was a budding artist himself, a self-taught kind of guy, and always had dreams of doing something with his artwork, and you know, kind of did it on the side type of a thing. But as he retired, he spent more and more time trying to do that thing. Mm-hmm. But then, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, okay. We let you talk and tell us your story.
Okay. I just saw the screen said it was muted. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, I muted you on the streaming software.
Okay, no problem. So then, you know, we spent, he spent quite a bit of time just drawing and doing stuff with me. And then I did that all the way through, you know, just doodling and drawing and up and through high school. I took some art classes. And then didn't really get too serious about it till we actually moved out to Florida. And one Christmas, my folks were asking what I wanted for Christmas, and asked them for an airbrush because I really wanted to start my own apparel business and start airbrushing T-shirts. Mm. And that's when I really started kind of doing it as a job. Where I had quite a few folks ask me to do their cars on T-shirts, and that really spun it into, I'm like, wow, I could really do something with this automotive stuff. Mm-hmm. And then just started drawing a ton more cars than anything.
Yeah.
That's kind of where it started.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's so your dad into the automotive side, or he was just
garage mechanic, tinker kind of guy.
Okay.
But they were a part of a I forget what you kind of a local club. It was called the Lions Club there in California. And they would host car shows as a way to raise money. And there was big car shows in the little town. And, of course, in Santa Maria, there was some pretty big automotive stuff going on. So the car culture itself was all around me. My seventh and eighth grade art teacher was a big automotive artist, and I used to love watching him draw cars. But I never really, up until probably in the 2000s, that I really start taking specifically drawing cars seriously, trying to better my skill set doing that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I look at anybody's car drawings, and I'm like, I could draw like a square. I'm not that artistic side.
It's just practice, learning perspective and different stuff like that. There's a lot. I mean, it's not too hard to learn how to do it. It's hard to learn how to do it really, really well. Mm-hmm. As I keep chasing that, there's a lot of different automotive artists and stuff that I chase, trying to get as good as them. And I still haven't seemed to catch them yet.
Some of your drawings, man, are impressive. That one that Rat Fink that you did up at Detroit was
That was a good time. That's one of the fun things that has kind of come out of being on the TV show is I got a little bit of a following, and I was able to go to Autorama. The Detroit Autorama has been a bucket list trip for me since I could remember, you know, even a little kid, you know. But then when I started really kind of getting into the automotive stuff and knowing what the Riddler Award was and that all the, you know, the most famous automotive builders and designers, that was the prize they were chasing. I was like, someday I'm going to make it to that show. Well, last year I got invited to come and to be a part of the actual basement area, which is where all the really cool rat rods and different stuff are, bands and music and art and different stuff. We had such a great time, and so many people that responded to us being there that we went this year too, and it was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was jealous that you got to see the uncertainty.
Yes.
Oh my God. I can't even believe it. I've been a fan of that car for so long, and for it to be finally found, and then knowing that it was coming to that show, that was so awesome. So the beauty of where I was able to get in to Detroit, I got in there super early on setup day and just got to hang out with that car for like 50 minutes.
Yeah, that's just awesome.
Geeking out on it. Nobody around me, just me in the car. It was so awesome. I could have sat up there for about another 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
Just looking at it.
Cool. That's one of the, that's the one thing that I love about the old builds is the longer you spend looking at them, the more, oh, wow, that pops. Or, you know, Ashley likes rat rods for that reason, because you walk around the car and it's like, oh, I didn't see that hand holding the mirror on, or oh, I didn't see the gas pedal, you know.
When we were in Daytona for Turkey Rod Run, this guy, what was it? I can't even remember now.
It was a Mack truck.
Yeah, and then a Jeep behind it. Yeah. And I walked around both of those vehicles probably 50 times in the hour that Matt stood there talking to the guy, because they know each other now. But I'm like, I'm just going to sit here and just admire. And every time I was like, oh, did you see this? Did you see this? I just get so excited.
That's a lot of the creativity that goes into many of those rat rod builds. And again, those guys are taking a lot of those cues from the early, as you know, as Matt's saying, those early hot rods and customs of the day, where you could spend so much time just trying to figure out exactly how, if something looks different, but, you know, trying to pinpoint. And that's what a lot of those builders were chasing, was trying to do subtle changes and enhancements to the car, utilizing things that maybe weren't, you know, like they maybe used something off of a car that wasn't so popular. Mm-hmm. And then using a small piece of like the bumper, or recessing it in a specific way that would make you go, how? I know that's not factory, but, you know. And then there were cars that had a lot of cues like that were factory, you know. A lot of those early beautiful cars, you know, factory cars, you know, like a Chrysler. There's a bunch of those early, you know, 40s, 50s Chryslers that, I mean, they look custom now.
Yeah, and that's like, they don't build... That's my big thing on new cars, is they don't build cars that have any amount of like soul anymore.
No. And unfortunately, it's like, they're just pumping them out.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when you see them do commercials and they're like, oh, immerse yourself in this thing that looks just like the other 70 other cars that are out there.
Like, I get,
is that a Volvo or a Camry? I can't tell.
That was, you know, you get in a rental car now because I don't really have anything that new in my yard, but you get in a rental car and it's like, it's too quiet. Like, how do I know if it's broke?
Like, yeah. When steering and you know, the transmission and none of my old cars have radios, just because I'd rather just listen to the sounds of the car, even if it's the squeaks and the bumps and the and the noises from rattles. I would rather hear that, because you can pretty much, if you're an old car owner, you know, okay, that rattle's normal, we're good. You know, if I'm trucking down the road at 70 and the rattle sounds different, you're like, okay, something's going on and it ain't right.
And you know if that's a rattle you need to pull over and fix now, or if you can make it home.
Yeah, you're like, that's fine,
Yeah, that'll be all right, yeah.
We'll be fine. So, for sure.
What is, or a few of, your biggest inspirations in the drawing world, in the artist side?
I have quite a few art heroes that Big Daddy Roth, of course. It's hard to talk about the automotive culture without him, even though he ran a studio where he hired a lot of phenomenal artists like Ed Newton and Robert Williams and guys like Juan Franco and those kinds of guys. But he was smart. He knew where his skill sets were to be a salesman and a three-ring circus guy. And just the mind of design itself, he may not have put it down on paper a specific way, but, to be able to visualize and make things, which was really cool. This last weekend, it was picking Little Daddy Roth's brain about the old builds and stuff, and he made something pretty clear to me that I hadn't really thought about, even though it's been right in front of my face. So the whole reason why a lot of Ed Roth's early cars and most of those cars are all asymmetrical is because when you're building things with molds and hand laying fiberglass and stuff, there is no perfection. Because you're going to lay down one side of the body and it's not going to match the other side of the body. So purposely you make things asymmetrical so it looks right when it's done. And I never really, even though I saw it and would look at, like Orbitron and different cars that had, three headlights over here and one headlight over here, thinking, oh, that's such a great design. But it was all masterfully done because he knew that there was no way he was getting that headlight to look just like that other headlight. So awesome.
Thinking outside the box.
Yeah, for sure. Roth, Barrett, all those, the Salinas brothers, the Gambinos, others, even guys like Chip Foose. I love the things that he does and the thoughts and processes. Maybe not every single paint job he's ever done is my favorite, but the way the guy thinks and the way the guy breaks down different stuff as a designer, he's just amazing.
The fact that Chip Foose specifically can take an idea in his head, put it on paper, and then make it match. That has always blown my mind.
Yeah. To take something out of his head and then to execute that in real space is pretty amazing. But again, he's been doing this stuff for his whole life.
Yeah.
And but he's, again, one of those guys that I definitely have looked up to as far as design and looking at things and trying to think outside the box and trying to execute those things in real building stuff. Yep.
Most definitely. So what you said you got some old cars, or you alluded to you have some old cars.
Yeah.
Currently, what is the favorite car you own?
Right now is my little Volkswagen pickup truck that I just finished up in March. I was riding around in a 66 VW, Volkswagen, and I really loved the car, and it was a birthday gift from my wife, which was really cool. And I got a wild hair at my rear end and decided I was going to stop not just do drawing and thinking about fabrication, but actually try to execute some on my own. And so I basically taught myself how to weld this summer and did the stupidest thing you could do, which is to, you know, your first build is to execute a 6-inch chop, and that's not really the smartest thing to do, to learn to learn how to do your first build, you know? So, had I been a little smarter, I probably would have said, let me just figure out how to repair some patch panels and instead of just cutting the whole back of the car off and saying, I'm going to build a truck out of it.
Hey, so you got to start somewhere, though.
Right. So it is drivable and things are not falling apart. And I think it came out really cool. I'm really happy with the end result of it. And it's still learning every day, but it's a rolling progress project. So it's never going to be quite finished. And then I've got a 51 Chevy that we're kind of in the midst of pretty much going to end up probably getting rid of because I've got a new project that's going to be coming my way. I'm right now looking at possibly a 29 Model A that we're going to be trying to acquire and start that build soon.
Heck yeah.
I heard. It's now internet official. You've said it on two different podcasts now.
Yeah, so. I'm counting on a specific person to kind of help me acquire the vehicle itself, but I feel pretty confident he's going to help me out and stuff. And along the lines of, you know, it's been my dream is to have a 2030s car. So that's, you know, when I went to Detroit, that was a good reason to go to Detroit too, is where all the guys know what's up. Mm-hmm. And I talked to one of my good buddies and he was like, hell yeah, dude, let's do this. I know where I know where there's a body he goes, even again, because I'm learning to weld, a frame is probably not the first thing I want to start welding on.
Might as well, though.
And, you know, start building suspension. So I'm going to have him help me with that part. And then the rest of it, I'm going to try to go after it myself. But I figured it's probably safe to have somebody with a little better welding skills right now to build suspension and frame. So
at least point you in the right direction.
Right. Yeah. Give me in a good starting point and then we'll be good to go. So, yeah.
That's pretty much how I ended up with my 32 pickup.
Nice.
I didn't really want it. And actually, I wanted it. Let me clarify. I wanted it, but I told Ashley, do not let me buy this. And we strapped it to the trailer. We brought it home.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could go look at any 30s car and not want to bring it home.
Well, we have the 54 that's like the driving project. And I could put money into it. So I was like, oh, we'll just, you know, we'll build this and we'll get it where it's a little more driver friendly and, you know, you can have it. And then I'll go build me something. And I got hung up. I don't know if you're familiar with Carl Fisher with Japan's, his bare metal Dodge.
The Sonic movie.
The Sonic movie where the two hot rods are sitting out front of the bar and they're shooting flames.
Okay.
That's his truck. And it's all bare metal, and it was a friend build. Like, the frame rails were stuck in somebody's front yard, the cab was rotted over there, the bed was like a planter, like, it was just what he had, and just grinded it down, made it bare metal. That's what it is. It's got hydraulic, it's got stock suspension with hydraulics. So the hydraulics push the crossover, the transverse leaf in the front pushes it up and down. So no matter where it's riding, it still has stock ride. So it's innovative. And I was like, I've wanted to build one. And I was like, all right, I want to build something. I want to build a bare metal truck. And the 54 is original paint. So I was like, I don't want to grind the paint off of it because it was looking decent at that time. It's now starting to flake, so I need to get some attention paid to that. But so I was like, I found it. I'm like, hey, we're going to go look at this car. But, like, if anything is wrong, like, talk me out of it. The guy had all the replacement panels. Like, I was like,
and I'm not paying attention to what they're talking about because I just showed up to say no.
She did her part. So she tried to talk me out of it. And I'm like, he has a replacement panel.
Yeah, I was like, can you fix that? Can you fix that? What about this rusty hole? He's got replacements for all those. We're getting this. I'm like, okay. So I tried. I did my part.
But
well, there you go.
So
So you knew you were going into it, bringing it home anyways.
Oh, yeah. I was 90% sure, but I was still like, I could use this money to get the 54 better. But it was like the bucket list. And being a 32, like,
yeah,
it wasn't.
You got to jump on it.
I didn't have to empty my bank account too much to get it. So it was like any other example of that car would have been severely more money. So
that's kind of where I am too, is I was fortunate to come into a little bit of funds to buy another project, but also wanted to make sure, you know, I didn't want to just go out and dump cash on, because there was, it figures that, you know, when I have it, suddenly they're out of the woodwork, this bunch that I'm so close to.
Yes.
And then I start looking and going, is it worth, you know, is it worth it? You know, is it really going to be that, you know, or should I wait and do it a little lesser expensive? And after talking to friends and stuff, or, you know, when someone goes, hey, man, listen, what you were going to spend for that, you know, we could do this, do this, do this.
Yeah.
And you'll have more fun doing it. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. So let's just do that.
Oh, you'll have more fun. You'll have more fun building it. You'll know more about it.
Yeah.
You know, and also it'll be the way you want it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That was a lot of them were the ones that were within the budget. So kind of what I was looking at, they were still going to have to be, you know, all the stock is going to have to be pulled out of it.
Yes.
And especially when you're looking at 20s, 30s cars, you know, on original frames, you're like, you're probably going to be either having to box that frame, hope it's square, or either ditch it and just build a frame anyway. So you're spending all this money on a stock motor you're not going to use, frame that you're not going to use, you know, for all just to acquire maybe a little better conditioned body. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, well, maybe it just makes more sense to find something I already know is a project, more project ready.
Right. Yeah, and like that's another thing. My dad went through that, or is still going through that, with the 34 he bought. You know, it's a beautiful truck, but, you know, he doesn't really fit in it too well. So we're trying to modify stuff to make it fit him better.
Yeah, and that was another thing my buddy said too. He's like, hey, listen, you know, a coupe is great, but, you know, you're not short, and, you know, you're also not a small guy.
Yes.
But getting in and out of that thing is not going to be so. He goes, I would go sedan, and then we get some room. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right.
Sit in the back seat.
Yeah, exactly.
Back seat adjacent. Yeah.
Right. So I've got some room to move around and have some storage areas. When, you know, he's like, yeah, he goes, I get it. I understand why you want to go like a five window or a coupe. I totally get it. But your chubby ass ain't going to fit in it.
No.
And so at Detroit, I spent a lot of time looking at those little roadsters where there was no scratch, no nothing. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, I'm not even going to get past the steering wheel.
That was when my dad was looking. He drove to the other side of the state, and he's like, well, good news, your trailer pulls really, really good. And I was like, thanks. And he goes, bad news, I'm not bringing it home. And I'm like, why not? Well, it was a Speedway tea bucket kit.
Okay, well, those are small.
And it was not the extended version.
Oh, man.
It had a passenger door, but no driver's door. So you had to climb over.
Right.
And I think it still had cow, like they did a modified like cow steering. So it wasn't even,
it was like straight up.
No, it was at an angle. So you couldn't even get your knees around the column. Like, so you're just, he goes, my knees were around my ears. And I'm like, well,
it'll be comfortable.
I'm like, that's the bullshit that you have to deal with if you go look at a tea bucket. But
right.
Yeah. I even contemplated cutting and adding a couple inches to the 32 cab because.
I was looking at tea buckets too for a while because there was a couple that had come up on the marketplace and Craigslist. They were pretty good deals and they looked like great shape. And I was like, man. And then the more I looked at it, I'm like, there's no way my ass is going to fit in that thing.
No. There was a really clean 29 Roadster pickup in Brooksville, which is like in between us. And
yeah,
I try. I put about everything I own on trade to get it, just because it's a traditional. It's a four banger, or was a four banger. He's got it for sale now as a roller, but like trog build, and I'm like, hell yeah!
Is that
yeah.
that green one?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, I was looking at the same one. No title.
Oh, did he take the? It had a title at one time.
I think he's starting to. He took the flathead out of it, and yeah. it's green with a black with a Model T trailer or bed on it, right? No windshield.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I was eyeballing.
I offered him my bike.
Thing for fun.
I offered him my bike, the 54, both of them together. I'll come with some money. Like, what do we need to get this done? And
yeah, it was pretty nice looking. It had all that. Was one of the ones I was looking at too, because it had all the updates. I think he's running 39 juice brakes on it, and yeah.
It's a really good build.
All it needs is a motor and a windshield, and that thing could go now. And I was like, damn it.
He drove that with no – it's never had a windshield in it since the build was complete.
Right, yeah.
You know, but I don't know him, but through buying my 32, I've met some of these guys, and I know that truck, and that truck was built well. The motor that was in it was done.
Yeah, it looks like it was done right.
Yeah. But that was the one thing, or that's the one benefit that we've had with buying the 32, is I've gotten a whole group of new friends, like parts wise, question wise, you know. Matter of fact, we're going there Saturday
nice.
To go see him. And then Sunday is our cruise. So if you're around on Sunday and you like barbecue and ice cream.
Barbecue or
ice cream.
I do
like both of those.
You can only have one. There's not enough room.
But we're cruising out from Bushnell going to Dade City. So
yeah.
Okay.
10:30.
Well, is that something you guys do often, or
we're gonna do it? It's our first one, but we're gonna start doing it every third Sunday of the month.
Okay, cool. Well, please let me know if I can't make this one. I would definitely love to come. The next
definitely. One. And that's what, because we know the cars are around. Like, you see them, but then it's like one or two, and I can never catch up with them.
We have such an interesting situation here, and I'm sure trying to put on a cruise, you're experiencing it. There's a lot of there are cars here. There's some great hot rods that are here, and there's a lot of car folks. They're kind of intermixed in different little niches, and then there's ones that just only go to like the Thursday night. As soon as the street lights come on, they leave. Kind of guys afraid to get any moonlight on their car or something. But there are other guys out there who are willing to drive and take their vehicles.
On this,
you're getting it going.
Yeah, when we set it out, or when we kind of set out to do it, it was more like, I don't want to tell you when to be here. Like 10:30, 11 o'clock is loose. If y'all pull up and you don't see anybody you want to talk to and you want to just go get food, go. We'll see you there. You know, if you want to just meet us at food, meet us at food. Like, it's not – because I didn't want to make it stipulations. I don't – you know, obviously I want to see your pre-65 car. But if you're into this stuff, man, and you want to enjoy your car, come out. Like, it's
– right.
Because we went – there was a Cars and Coffee in the Villages. We live right next to them. So,
okay.
And it was like, we pulled up and it's like people looking down, and it's like, Mothercracker, if you don't like us being here, like we're what's going to replace you when you die. So, you know, and
yeah, there is a lot of that. I experienced, that was kind of my introduction here in Florida to the car culture when I got my 51. You know, I went to a couple car shows, and of course it's pretty ratty. And that was exactly the thing I got was the, you know, when are you going to paint it? What are you talking about? I'm driving. Mm-hmm. And when are you going to do this? I'm like, well, instead of coming over here and not suddenly, you know, knocking shit down, why don't you just appreciate the fact that here I am, a guy that's younger than you, mm-hmm. that showed up in an old car and is trying to keep this thing going. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm willing to go drive this thing for distances where, you know, I know you're going to go park that thing in your garage and maybe you'll see it next month. So that kind of shit pisses me off. And there's enough guys out there that are trying to not be that way. But unfortunately, there's still some of those fellas that are holding on to the old ways of the 90s and those Easter egg hot rods. And so, not to talk shit, but that's,
no, but we get it.
The hell out of me.
And we went to another show and it was put on by a Village Car Club and they were probably the most accepting of any car show we've been to. You know, we're pulling in and it's a survivor car. I mean, it's got rust. It's, you know, it's factory paint.
That's an old car, man.
You know, it is what it is. Like,
yeah.
It's not going to win no beauty contest. It's not going to be it's not going to be America's best, you know, anything, you know, but I'm out enjoying it.
Yeah.
I got my old lady next to me.
That's right.
You know, she may have rolled the window down. So we have two window AC, maybe not, you know, we don't know, but and we're out enjoying it. And as we're pulling in, it's a 54.
Yeah. Hi, Rod.
Yeah. So, you know, we're pulling in and somebody flips around and takes a picture of us. And she's like giddy, you know, that guy took a picture of us. And I'm like, yeah. And we back in and we got the people that were like, you know, wanted to put like barriers up, like don't let your rust jump over here. But then there was other people. What I enjoy is the story. Come up and tell me that you took your wife on a first date to go get ice cream in a 54. You learned how to drive on, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people gave me crap for not keeping the 3 on the tree. It does have an S10 5-speed. But, you know, it's like I wanted to drive it.
That's right.
I'm still not going to put it up on the interstate and kill it because it still does have the inline 6-cylinder. But it gets out of its own way. I mean, 60, 65, it'll cruise. It doesn't make a whole lot of racket.
Mine's got that old 216 in it with the power glide, and we drove that thing all the way to Daytona multiple times, and we've been everywhere in that old 51. It sits now, but at the time it was the same thing. And the thing that I used to love to do is park next to the best looking car at the car show, which was a brand new, you know, at the time 2022 Corvette, and watch everybody pay attention to my car and not pay attention to that guy's car and just laugh. Yep. Like, how much did you spend on that? Yeah, exactly. Enjoy. Once you put your lawn chair away and go home.
Yeah, pretty much. So, unlimited budget, what car would you build? You know, what's your favorite car? What's the...
There's too many on the list.
I feel like that's a common answer. Say
unlimited budget. Oh my God. Where do I start? 33, 32, 29. You know, then we go into the 36, 37. Can I get a 49? Can I get a 51? Let's go pickups. Okay, how about a van? You know what I mean? There's just too many.
Spoken like a true car guy.
I can't. There's just that. Okay, so let's go motorcycles. Okay, let's go VSA. Let's go Harley. Let's go Indian. Let's go Triumph. You know what I mean? So,
Jeez, you sound like that. Before we got the 54, well, even today, up until today, he'll send me like, oh, look at this, look at this, look at this. I'm like, okay, so you're like looking at a 32 pickup truck, and then we're over here looking at a 56 sedan, then we're over here, then we're over there. And it's just...
I have a build in my head for pretty much every car that I want. Yep. Yeah,
me too. And that's just hot rods. Now let's go, okay, Porsche 911, Porsche 365. Let's go Corvette. Let's go. I'd love to have my CJ7 back. I'd like to get love Jeep too. You know, it would be so badass to have like a shaggin' wagon van and a big giant station wagon. A Woody. There's too many. And then, of course, it'd be badass to build like a bubble top car and then a, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like we've seen that before. Huh? I feel like we've seen a bubble top before.
Yeah, I think somebody created one. I think somebody had some design work for that bubble top.
Yeah, for sure. I got to drive it.
Did you?
Yeah, I got to drive it. I didn't drive it. I didn't sit in it very well, but I got to drive it.
It has a twist throttle, right?
Yeah, it was just like a motorcycle. So the accelerator was like motorcycle, and then you would push the throttle or this big lever forward. That was your brake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there was no foot controls whatsoever. Mm. It was just throttle brake.
You probably didn't have automatic room for foot controls.
No. And the space from the front to the back was probably 2.5-3 feet wide.
Oh.
So I had to almost sit sideways and hang over the side of the center console, which went the whole length of the chassis. Yeah, fat guy. That's why there's no fat astronauts, because I wasn't sitting in a spaceship.
Oh, jeez.
I seen that car pop up for sale. It's in Florida now, isn't it?
No. That thing is it sold at Barrett Jackson, and then it's now in a private collection in Las Vegas.
Oh. Is there another one then? The one with the half wheels? The one with the front wheels that float?
There's lots of bubble top car builds out there, but this not Space Junkie 2.
He called it Space Junkie.
Well, there's Space Junkie 1, which was where the original chassis came from for the second build. That was a very chopped sedan that Ian had built first. Mm-hmm. And then we took that apart, took the body off of it, used the chassis to build the bubble top car. And then another guy bought that body. They rebuilt a new chassis for it and used the old engine. And it is now running around at car shows for sale. And it's called Space Junkie 1.5.
Oh. Maybe that's the one. It's got half. That one, the front wheels are like half floaters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the one I saw then.
Yeah, that's Space Junkie 1.5.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's the original body from the first Space Junkie that the guy Jeremy bought. And then him and Ian built a chassis for that body. And then he redid the body and repainted it and did a different color scheme and really geeked out on the car. Did a phenomenal job. Everything but those spinners I like.
I agree. Not a fan of those spinners. I agree. When it was sitting still, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Now, the original Space Junkie 1 had spinners from the original wooden wheels that were off. I forget it was the early 20s Chevy. They were the wooden wheels. And Ian made spinners out of wooden wheels for the original Space Junkie. So I think this guy was, Jeremy was trying to kind of do a nod of, like, right, here's my version of a spinner.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of them. When I seen it for sale, I seen in the ad, and I was like, oh, those rims are pretty interesting. And then when it moved, I was like, they need to stay still. They need to float. Yeah. They don't need to. So it made it wishy-washy. I think
the
car looks
better with them off. And just the full big wheel on it. Mm-hmm. And those rims that are on it, I believe they're the ones that Ian gave him from the original build. Those are actually 22-inch Dodge, the spare tire that would be underneath the truck or in the car that were taken apart and welded together to make a big 20-inch wheel.
Heck, yeah.
A lot of the C10 guys use transport wheels now.
Yes. I got a friend who's got a Cadillac looking for those, and they're so expensive now because he can't find them.
tell him to reach out to me. I have a guy.
I will definitely let him know.
I'll
let him know. He's been like, I got to find them.
I know at one time he was selling them for like $200 a piece with That's transport not bad. Tires.
He was telling me when he last checked, it was like $1,000 a piece. And I was like, Jesus.
Oh, my
land. Just get regular rims.
Yeah.
You could buy Detroit Steels for that. Sorry, sir.
Right, exactly. That's the point.
You can mob steel that way easier. And you get Artilleries, which is a beautiful rim.
Right, yeah, for sure.
The gentleman that I bought the 32 from actually has a original set of 16-inch Artilleries. And nice. I have tried to coax him into trading. I was like, man, you remember when I bought this from you and you were telling me how awesome these, you know, the 40 rims and the back ones are widened and all that. Like, don't you want these back? Because, like, I would take those artilleries off your hand.
Right. It's even up straight up trade.
I haven't convinced them, but every time I see him or talk to him, I'm like, you don't still got him sitting over there? Down. He's putting together a 29 Roadster Trog build right now that is
sweet.
Sick. And he has one of the cleanest coupes I've ever seen. Cooped up 31. Shout out to Ryan Gilmore. So what show or event do you try to make every year?
Well, this has been, it's the type of day job that I have. It's been difficult to get to any shows, but so Detroit has been our got to make a two show. Mm-hmm. Now that we've been 2 years in a row, and I definitely foresee it going there next year again. It's such a great, fun show. There's so much to see, and there's always stuff going on, and we've made really great friends out there in Detroit. We have our family there. It's the Southeast Michigan Hot Rodders gang that's mm-hmm. out there, mm-hmm. and it's just this big group of people that have taken us in and just made us really feel welcome and a part of their group. And so when we go, it's the best hangout. We get to hang out with Little Daddy Roth, which basically sets up a booth next to our good friend Shaggy LeBlanc, who's a big automotive welder and fabricator and artist. Mm. And then because he's been in Detroit for his whole life, everybody who comes down to the basement inevitably ends up at that center booth in the basement, and it's just everybody you could think of shows up or walks by or comes down and says hello. So we got lucky to be with a really, really amazing group of people that has now kind of become our home base, which is freaking me. I'm so badass.
Yeah, that is. Well, coming from.
And of course, right next to, I don't know if you guys are aware of Speed Cult, which are the guys that do big CNC metal signs and different stuff. Mm-hmm. They travel all over the place. I think they were at the Daytona show as well.
Yeah.
Those guys are super cool dudes, and from Detroit too, which are cool. So they're right next to our booth, and they got sick ass music playing when the bands aren't playing. It's just a great hang down.
Awesome.
And the Detroit Rug Company.
Yeah, yeah. That was, oh my God. That was so cool too.
So that's awesome. When did you move?
Yeah, I got a rug. I have a personal rug dealer.
They build cooler rugs than you'd get from a regular rug dealer.
For real, man. This guy, the kid's very talented, and it's been so cool to watch somebody start off a business and really gaining traction and getting his name out there. So it's been really cool.
When did you move from Cali out to Florida?
2004.
Oh.
So okay. I basically from the time I was about 3-4 years old, I lived in Orchid, California, is where I'm from, just a little town outside of Santa Maria, mm-hmm. and grew up there, you know, grade school, high school, a little bit of college, and then my folks moved out to Florida to retire, and then both of my parents got sick, so I was like, they have no family out here, I got to get out here, so that brought me out here. Transferred to my job then out here, and been out here ever since.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
So yeah. So you probably miss some of the Cali shows that you don't get to attend anymore.
Oh yeah. Yeah. it's amazing. The Cruising Nationals, which is in my hometown, which is one of the big shows. It started off in Paso Robles, the big Paso show, mm-hmm. back in the early days, you know, when the traditional hot rod thing was really jumping off in California, the kind of the resurgence back from the, you know, the 40s, the 50s and 60s era. That was all going on in my town. Now, of course, for me at the time, I was a little immersed in the scene, but I was more on doing off-road shit back then. So I spent most of the time at the sand dunes and with my Jeep and stuff. So, mm-hmm. And I had family at the time, ex-wife and her family had hot rods and stuff. And I at one point I was like, you know, maybe eventually I'll get into, you know, find myself and get back into some of the hot rod stuff. And then And then we moved, and then we came out to Florida, and then it just became just chasing the art side of the hot rod business, but out here in Florida where it's not a real big thing, you know. So yeah. That part's been a little tough. Thank God for the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Blessing.
Yeah, everything goes on out there. Ventura Nationals, you know, Cruising Nationals, Pomona Swap Meet, the, you know, all the LA Roadster Show, all that stuff. I miss, never get to go to any of that stuff. I think I went to one Moon Eye show, which was phenomenal. I went to the Pomona Swap Meet one time. I got to go to a couple of the Father's Day LA Roadster shows, which was cool. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not when it's like every other weekend there's something going on.
Yeah,
down there,
right.
But. Yeah, the
Cali. Whereas it's like,
Cali
hey, there's a crew at McDonald's.
The Walmart parking lot. You know,
that's right. You and a 73 Datsun and Jeff over there's got a VW Bug, and Larry's going to show up at his $57,000 Corvette, and we'll all just hang out on our lawn chairs for the hour.
Well,
all right. Oh, it starts raining.
Yeah, we definitely the West Coast shows are Viva Las Vegas, Roadster, America's Best.
Yeah.
Pomona. We want to get out there, yeah. You know, but you know the struggle. It's all the way over there.
Yeah. We are actually making our first run. This will be our first time to go back home and go to the cruising, the Santa Maria show coming up. So
cool.
My wife and I are finally like, we got to go. Enough is enough. We can't.
Yeah.
We got to make it to that at least one time.
Mm hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So we're hoping to hang out with our good buddy Bob Frizz, which is he's known as Shaboom. He has a big flame throwing vehicles that travel all kinds of different shows, Redneck Rumble and different stuff like that. But he generally takes a car out to California. He's really good friends with Gene Winfield, and so we're hoping to kind of hook up with him maybe down there and be able to cruise around with him. Mm-hmm. So at least there's a car down there to cruise in.
Yeah,
because that's the big part at that show is the cruise up and down Main Street.
Yeah. As we have one planned for September in Texas, and that was my one requirement.
Is that what show is that? That's
it's actually Drag and Destroy. It's more focused on a mini truck side, but it's the name of the podcast was Hometown Hot Rodder, and you know, they kind of they no longer exist, but they switched more to the music side and kind of cleaned up what they were doing, kind of more true to themselves, which left a space for us. we owe them a lot of our followers and the success that we had out of the gate. Because I mean, this is only episode 23 for us. So
right on.
I mean, we owe them a lot of credit because they struggled with a lot of stuff and we kind of got to reap the benefits of, you know, the StreamYard. Like, I'm like, I'm not filming nothing. It's a podcast. You listen to it. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He fought it for a while and then, you know, people were like, well, we want to see you go live. And I was like, man, nobody wants
to see. Yeah, video is definitely the way to do it.
Yeah.
We did many years with our little podcast thing, our sketchy live on Mondays. We did it for years without just doing audio. Well, actually, we did do video, but you would only see me drawing. And then I eventually finally convinced my wife. I'm like, I need to get you on camera. Mm-hmm. If I can get you on camera and they can see your expressions when you're pissed off at me, we're going that'll be perfect. So that was the big push.
And that was, you know, they were doing that. So, you know, they needed test dummies on the other end, and yeah, you know, we had podcast equipment, so he's like, well, run it through your podcast equipment, we'll run it through our podcast, we'll see how it works out. And then and finally at the end of it, he's like, all right, I think we got it figured out. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I think we do, so I'll buy StreamYard now. And he's like, what, you didn't buy it? And I was like, no, I was waiting for you to get all the kinks out before I
Yeah, and it's because it's not cheap.
No, it's not. But
And especially if you're doing the almost not almost pro, but not pro, because you're like, I don't, do I need all the pro stuff? Mm-hmm. And then you start going, I think I do.
Yeah. Well, so we started with the basic, like the real cheap. And I think that lasted like a week. And I was like, go for it.
When we added on the Instagram and the YouTube, in order to go live on everything, you need the Mac Daddy package. So,
Then like the logos in the corner and the scrolling people, you know, it's like,
we don't need to promote StreamYard up in the corner here. Let's put our own sponsors.
People are paying me and I'm just having to say their name like 18 times in an episode. That's like, but,
don't forget.
It's right here.
And then you're like, you have the list of stuff that you don't forget. And then you obviously forget it, you know,
always.
Yeah. So
no matter how much you prepare.
So is there a bucket list show or event that you would like to make it to that you haven't got a chance to yet?
I'd love to make it to a bunch of those Texas shows. One's in Tennessee. I think Redneck Rumble's one of them. We're definitely going to try to make it to the Starbird show. That is a huge, all I heard over Detroit, which is the week before the Autorama, was Starbird show.
Yes.
How huge it is and just how much stuff goes on there. So I think next year that's a show we're going to try to definitely make to get to for sure. But that's my wife and I, his goal is to finally, you know, eventually get to a point where we can just do that full time and just go to shows, you know, and just become car show, big car show event participants and, you know, just bend and do all that fun shit and just do that as a job. That'd be fun.
Ashley has worked her way into being able to, she can take her work wherever we go. So now we're just trying to work on getting me to where I can go places, but.
Yeah.
The only problem with traveling with what I do is I currently have two giant screens to work from, and
doing it on a laptop would suck, but
yeah, I mean, it's doable. It's just, instead of giving me 5 minutes, give me 10 minutes. Cause now I got to flip back and forth between screens, right. But
so you're going to have a mobile communication vehicle to travel with.
Yep,
we're the same spot.
He already found me a screen to get, and it's been sitting in the buy cart for a little while.
Plugs into the USB, and it splits off, so you can have like three screens off your laptop. I'm like, there it is. Right. We got a little jetpack. I'll stick it in the cup holder. Like, we don't even have to be at a hotel. You can work while we're driving. Like, mobile unit here.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, we're looking at the same thing. My wife is also able to work mobile as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just my stupid job that keeps me where we can't do shit.
right.
So I got to figure a way to pedal more t-shirts.
Right? Well, I know you're like obviously fairly close to us and we didn't even know it, but like down in your area, are there any like shows that are cruises or anything like that that you like to go to on a regular basis?
Fortunately, there's been one on Wednesday nights here locally that's been it's at a restaurant called Diesel's.
Okay.
And that one's been a pretty fun little show. A lot of folks are starting to show up to that one. It's kind of a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been starting to do some weekend, like once a month, big shows there. Of course, Quaker Steak, when you have a Friday, sometimes going up to like I hang out with a lot of the Volkswagen folks when I do get a chance to go out. So they'll have I think it's like the first Friday or the second Friday they do at OCC. There's a big VW show. There's one at the Causeway every Thursday. There's a big hangout at the Dunedin Causeway. So there's a lot of just kind of cruising around with a bunch of VW people. So that's kind of how I ended up with a bug is of all the people around my area, they were the only ones going and driving anywhere and doing and cruising and not just waiting for car shows, but that were like, hey, it's Tuesday. We're going to go get ice cream. We'll meet you there. And it'd be a group that would roll out, you know? So
heck yeah.
That's kind of where I ended up. I was like, I'm just going to get a bug. That way I can just go hang out with those guys.
And isn't there a huge, like every year or something like that, there's one up here in Dade City.
Oh,
and
the Bug Jam.
Yeah. The Bug Jam.
Yeah, Bug Jam. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That was where my project started, kicked off in March. Is I made the first cut in March to make it so I can make it to Bug Jam in November. So I gave myself that time frame to get the whole thing finished, to get it to that show. So that was a fun thing. And of course, idiot me, who, you know, you're supposed to be making content, didn't video any of it, took pictures, but was so immersed in doing my build, I kept forgetting to bring the camera out. And every day I'd go, oh my God, why did I record that?
I feel that, because we just did maintenance on the tow rig, and I'm like, yeah, I even told people on the podcast, like, yeah, we're going to film it, and, you know, we'll actually have stuff on our YouTube. I go out there, and I'm, like, trying to hold a phone.
Yeah.
And I'm like.
Exactly.
It's not.
And then I'm talking, but my head's turned, you know, away from the phone, so it's muffled. Finally, I was like, here, take this, and I'm just going to do it, and we'll take pictures through the process, because there's no.
Of course, it's all on my phone. Which, I mean, I'm the one with the camera. I have a nice camera that we take to car shows so I can get the best pictures.
Right.
But then it takes me like a week or so to upload them. Like, we did a huge photo bomb this morning because I'm like, I need to post everything, all these pictures on my phone.
It makes you go, how the hell do these people do this?
Yes.
Create content and film every single thing. I don't know how they do it. So, yeah, I can totally relate with you. But, yeah, I wasted a whole build. I mean, I went out, I like did like a couple, like in the midst of here's the things I'm going to work on. Mm-hmm. But I never, like, I meant to film every part of it and didn't film any of it like an idiot.
That's
it happens.
That's why I got to get a new project. This one I'm going to film.
We're going to hold you to it.
My pants on. I'm making breakfast. Look, I'm drinking coffee. Yeah.
It's, well, even like with her, you know, it's like she went the first time we went to Turkey, she like slap filled her iPhone with photos. And I was like, okay, like if you're serious into this, like let's get a better camera. Okay. Right. So got her the better camera. All right. Oh, I need editing software. Okay. This is editing software. It's free. Prove to me that it's going to be worth it and we can buy something. Okay. She takes all these pictures and I'm like, none of them. None of those pictures have seen the light of day.
We did have one show where I did actually post a bunch of pictures. Now, don't throw me under the bus that much. Actually, don't
worry. You're a busy lady, I'm sure. And that's,
oh, yes.
There's other stuff going on. I totally get it.
Well,
we took a ton of photos from Detroit. Mm-hmm. And the same thing. I brought my podcast equipment to do a podcast while we were at the show. Mm-hmm. And it was sat in my backpack. And every time I thought about pulling it out, it coming to the stage. The hip guys, and then it was huge, loud music for, you know, 2.5 hours. And I'm like, okay, they're just getting done. Okay, come to the stage, the Blues Brothers. Shit, never saw them. It wasn't loud music, or so I was like, oh well. Next time we're gonna find a corner and we'll just do it somewhere quiet. Yeah.
Happens. We're going up to me and my dad are going to Moultrie for the first 2 days, and then Ashley and my mom's coming up in April. And the gentleman that swap it fast up here in the corner, he's like, yeah, man, I'm coming up here. I got a booth. Like, you can just tag along in my booth with me. I'm like, all right, cool. And he's like, yeah, bring your podcast stuff. And I'm like, it doesn't really work outside. Like, there's music. There's not. Yeah. I'm like, I'll bring it, but like, you're going to have to come to the hotel, or we're going to have to go to your Airbnb or wherever you're staying, because somebody's going to walk by, see a microphone, say something. I'm not the editor, so it's going to be in the podcast. Somebody like your mom. You know, so
yeah.
It's like, come on, man. So
it's inevitable,
you know, because people can't act right.
Can't take them anywhere.
So, when do you think you're going to get started on the 29?
The person I was talking to ends up getting sick as well. So I just got over the flu and, So I have been kind of just like, I'm not going to bother him right now. But I'm hoping, you know, hopefully by the end of this month, I'll have at least the conversation locked down of a plan. Mm. And then we'll see. Because if it's not going to really, really happen, then I'm going to have to find a different route. And then it's on to plan B. And we'll see what happens.
So Johnny Jalopy as a business.
Yeah.
Tell us all about it.
Sure. So Johnny Jalopy is hot rod art. I do automotive art, create logos for people, sell on my website, johnnyjalopy.com, where you can find posters and stickers and hats and T-shirts and all kinds of different stuff that have to do with the custom culture. And, there's all kinds of neat stuff. You can access our sketching live show from that website. But we also have it available on YouTube, Johnny Jalopy at youtube.com. And then, of course, you know, all my social media is Johnny Jalopy Hot Rod Art, and then Johnny Jalopy on Instagram. But, yeah, that's what I do, is create automotive art, draw hot rods and customs and different stuff like that, do some design work, logo work, that kind of thing.
Heck, yeah.
Awesome. Well, when the 32 gets closer, I'll have you design us a shirt or design us a picture for a shirt or something.
Yeah.
Hit me up. And again, love to come hang out at one of your cruises for sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. The turtle car will be there. Michelangelo will be there.
Yeah. Got him washed up. His top's looking nice and white. The rest of tonight.
The rest of it, not so much. This pollen in Florida has been ridiculous lately.
Yeah, every car is green right now.
Yep.
Well, and I even, like, before we just went up to Indianapolis for the weekend, and I'm like, oh, I'll put it in the, we had a little carport, and I'm like, I'll put it in the carport, like, it'll protect it. I come back.
Nope.
My windshield on my truck is green. The top of the car is green. There's all those little oak gimmicks. I'm like,
man. Droplings.
It's like, this is ridiculous. I have two giant oak trees that are in front of my house, so. I washed my car yesterday, and it's already, like, looks like it's been bombed with pollen.
We washed his truck, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
And the next morning, it already had a nice hue to it, but.
This is ridiculous. But we don't shovel snow, so.
Yeah.
No, we don't. I have enough of this pollen, though, I could be shoveling it.
That's what we need to work on, figuring out what you could do with the oak palms.
Right. Find a use for it.
There's got to be, we could rent it out to like a small country or something for, insulation or something. So
Shamrock Shake. We'll just fill.
So what's one piece of advice that you would give somebody, whether it's car culture or hot rod art?
Piece of advice, never give up. Just continue to, no matter how much time and it feels like you're just not attaining your goals, make goals, make attainable goals. But don't get down on yourself when those goals aren't happening maybe as quick as you'd like them to. You definitely don't want to give up on whatever that passion and that dream is. The time is going to come. Continue to keep working on it, and it'll pay off. So. I've been working on, building my brand and stuff for what feels like forever. And, we're finally starting to get a little bit of traction, but there were many, many times, my wife had to talk me off the ledge into not giving up and forgetting it and selling it and doing all that stuff. Because she's like, it's all going to work out. It's God's time. We just gotta be patient and continue to be, steadfast and not give up.
Yeah.
So that would be my advice. Don't give up.
That's pretty good.
That was very well put. I like that.
Well,
people's on the way.
Make sure that you go check out Swap It Fast. Again, we need more buyers on there, more sellers. The more buyers, the more sellers, the more sellers, the more buyers. Make that connection and find those parts.
And also, don't forget to go to Throttle Attic using the code word Hot Rod, and you get to save 15% off on some pretty sweet apparel, hats, sunglasses. They got all kinds of goodies, so don't forget to check that out.
And make sure that you don't forget, the cruise is this Sunday, the 17th.
Yes. Our first one.
10:30-ish in Bushnell, cruising out to Dade City for barbecue and ice cream.
Bushnell, the Napa and Bushnell.
Napa and Bushnell.
Yep. Perfect.
All right. Anything else, Johnny?
Nah, man. That was great. Thank you so much. Appreciate both of you.
Thank you, right. Johnny.
Thanks for coming on, man. Later, guys.
You got it.
See you.
You guys have a sweet night.
You too.